go to Psalm 19. I have thoroughly enjoyed the first two Psalms we've looked at, and looking forward to this one tonight, requested by Darrell Powell. I hope you've enjoyed them. I think you have. You seem to enjoy requesting them. As I said, some of you requested many. And a couple that I haven't looked at for a while, I've read through the Psalm. I always, almost always, just go start right back over again and keep reading through them. But Sister Teresa Patterson requested Psalm 31. We're going to look at that next Wednesday night, Lord willing. And I hadn't looked at that in a while. And I looked at it again. What a, such a blessing. I'm looking forward to that. Verses that I knew but wasn't sure where they were. And so this psalm, I find myself quoting this often. All the time. I quote this psalm all the time. Not only the first part of it, but the prayer, the short prayer by David. It's five or six verses on God's creation, and then four or five verses on God's Word, and then a closing prayer, a very simple, short prayer at the end of it, which is my prayer. I've entitled this, Two Voices of God, Two Books of God, it could be said, the Book of Creation and the Written Word. Job 33, Elihu in his sermon to Job and his friends, he preached to four people, one of the greatest sermons ever been preached, young Elihu. He said, God speaketh once, yea, twice hath God spoken, but men perceiveth it not. Man perceiveth it not. God clearly speaks through his creation, his word, but man is dead, he's deaf, he cannot hear, he's blind. Creation sings God's praises and God's glory very loudly and very clearly, doesn't it? Look at verses 1 through 3. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge, knowledge of God. Day unto day uttereth speech, says God is. Behold thy creator, night unto night showeth knowledge, the knowledge of God. There is no speech nor language where their voice, that is the voice of day and the voice of night, where it's not heard. Nowhere. Was David sitting on the hillside with his lute or his harp when he wrote this? He sang this. This is a song that he wrote. Was he sitting on the hillside in the morning? He would get up early, you know that, don't you? He said, I myself will arise early. Thy voice, my voice, shalt thou hear in the morning, he said. Was he sitting on the hillside watching over those sheep as a young man when the morning sun was rising? And that made him write this, heavens, declares God. Was he sitting there in the evening watching over those sheep when the sun was going down and the sky became a brilliant red or orange or pink? Just the master artist's canvas, our God. Someone texted me yesterday, did you happen to see the sun going down yesterday? Sunset. It's glorious. Glorious. Someone texted me and said, I believe the Lord is giving us a preview of tomorrow night's message. Was David watching that sun set when he wrote this? The heavens declare his glory. Was he sitting out under the stars? He was a good shepherd. He was a great shepherd. He was watching over those sheep. And he never lost one. Was he sitting out under the stars? Every one of us have been out at night sitting, whether on your porch or on a hillside or wherever, and seeing sometimes the glory of God, His creation, countless stars. He telleth them all by name. He's got them numbered. Amazing. Was he sitting there looking at the sky at night time, whatever it was, whether it was day or night? He said, it uttereth speech. It says, our God is. God is. Night unto night showeth the knowledge of our God. He wrote in Psalm 8, the heavens, he said, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy finger, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man? What is man? You get something of the, you get just a little understanding of the insignificance of man, the smallness of man in light of the vast heavens. One time I copied a picture, and I saw a picture of all the planets, and the sun, you know, was this big, and Earth was next to the sun that big. All right, now what about us on that Earth? Just an infinitesimal, that's a big word, speck in the universe. But nothing. And our God is He that sitteth on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are reputed as nothing, grasshoppers. Well. Romans 1 says this, Paul said, he said, the eternal power and Godhead, the things, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Men have eyes, can clearly see it, ears, but they don't hear this voice. God's got to give us eyes, ears to hear. Clearly seen, understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world Thy hands have made. Great is our God, and great are His works, the work of creation. And I have to say this, and I already did. The Psalms are for God's people. This is for God's people. Now, all creation clearly declares the great and glorious Creator. The sun, the moon, the stars, the skies, the heavens, the earth, the trees, the waters, clouds of the dust of His feet. Everything God made, and I kept emphasizing, we were reading through those things, seed, His kind, His image. God did it all. All things were created by Him and for Him and for His pleasure, for His glory. Everything redounds unto the glory of God. Everything clearly speaks of the glory of God to God's people, doesn't it? Birds, animals, the birds. I was sitting in my little attic study the other day, and it was, we haven't had a winter, and it was so warm, the birds were acting like it was springtime. They were just flitting and flying and singing, and, you know, the birds, their carol rays, the morning light, the lily white, declare their maker's praise. Everything that hath breath praises the Lord, but man. We're supposed to be the higher creature, aren't we? Oh no, our Lord said the ox knows his owner, the ass knows his master's crib. But my people, he came to his own creatures, and they knew him not. Romans 1 goes on to say that because they didn't retain God in their knowledge, they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, God gave them over. Their understanding was darkened. Man is in darkness. Little birds have more light than man. But these things are clearly seen. They're without excuse. That's what Romans 1. All right? So enough about unbelievers. Okay? I had to say that. It's clear to us, and such, not were some of you, but all of us. We didn't see. We didn't behold His glory. But if God has given you ears to hear the song of creation, if God has given you eyes to see His glory in the heavens, if you have a heart to praise Him for His glorious works, blessed art thou. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but the Father which is in heaven. God spoke to you. God said, let there be light. Let there be light. And it was so. Bless his holy name. All right, now, though the terrestrial thing, and this is not my word, this is Bible word. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul speaks throughout that chapter of the terrestrial and the celestial. Terrestrial being the earth. The terrestrial things have a glory all their own, don't they? David doesn't mention those right now. He mentions the celestial. Because the celestial things, the heavens, far exceed the glory of the earthly thing. The heavens are where God is. The heavens are just beyond our understanding. We can dig into some of the earth's treasures and all that, but the heavens, it's a vast mystery in them. The celestial is greater glory than the terrestrial. Try to get your mind around infinity. No beginning and no end. That proves God in itself, then. The heavens. There's no beginning. Go as far as you can to the east. You'll never come back west. Go as far as you can to the west. You'll never come back east. Infinity. Eternity. Never ends. Never began. Never ended. That's our God. That's Christ. He said, I'm the beginning and the ending. And I have to say this. Scripture says He separated our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. That brought a smile. Oh my. The glory. And if you haven't read 1 Corinthians 15 in a while, read it. Oh, it's glorious. But it says, as is the earthy, so are they that are earthy. But as is the heavenly, so shall we be. We're going to be like the heavenly. Our Lord, though, who was high, condescended, took a body. Oh, great is the mystery of Godhead. And it had all this written down, but my. When Christ entered the eternal God, no beginning or ending, no beginning of days or end of days, was an infant of days and died on the cross. I can't understand it. But I believe it. I believe it. Okay, it says, the heavens declare His glory. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth this speech. God is. Night unto night showeth knowledge. No speech, no language, but His voice is not heard, and is no one without excuse. And Romans 1 says, though they profess themselves to be wise, they became fools. All right, look at this. The greatest proof of God, and God doesn't prove Himself, and I'm not proving God, and yet the greatest proof of God is one great and shining thing and glorious thing that He set in the heaven of God and His Son. Read on with me. Verse 4. Their line, that is, day and night, their rule, their direction, their voice, their speech, is gone throughout all the earth. Their words to the end of the world, they speak, they say, God is, Christ reigns. In them, in these heavens, in the celestial, He has set a tabernacle. God made these heavens primarily for one thing, to set in it His greatest glory in creation and salvation, the Son. I've always marveled. The English language is, the gospel at least, is spoken in the English language more than any other. Right? More than any other. And there are certain words that men just came up with in the English language that God had them write that. Son. The Son. God made this, the heavens and the firmament of everything, the heavens, as a tabernacle, as a place to set his son for all to see. To reign, to rule over all. Did David know Christ? We just looked at Psalm 2 to kiss the Son. I have declared a decree, I will set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten that. So he made the heavens for his glory, yes, his creative glory, but they are they testify and declare the Son of God, the Son of righteousness. Look at verse 5, which is as a bridegroom. Now, why would David call the sun in the sky a bridegroom? Because the kingdom of God, our Lord said, is about a king that made a marriage for his son. And that's why Christ came to this earth. He came, verse 5, out of his chamber. Christ, who was with the Father in the beginning, came out of his chamber, out of the bosom of the Father, became flesh. He came down here to find his bride. When God made man, you remember? Let us make man after our own image. God made man. He made Adam first, didn't he? And man was first. The woman, man was not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Okay? Woman is to help me. Woman is for the glory of the man, right? She came out of his side. What's all that picture of? Christ and his bride, okay? So, and God presented, caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam and opened his side up. That's Christ crucified. And when he awoke from that sleep, and there's a song, there's a passage, I think it's Amos or Hosea, I awoke and my sleep was sweet unto me. And behold, because of Christ's death and resurrection, his bride is presented unto me, faultless, unblameable, holy, unreproved before God. He came as a bridegroom in search of his bride. And he finds them all out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race, the fit man, the human race, this work of redemption. Christ came, strong man. Our Lord spoke of that, our adversary who holds people captivity, and said, unless a stronger than he come and bind him. And Christ did. He came to set, to take captivity captive. See, all of his bride were like Abigail. Got somebody's attention. All his bride were like Abigail. The enemy had them in captivity. And David came and he recovered all out of that captivity, his bride. And that's Christ, the strong man, the strong man. Verse 6, his. Now, who are we talking about? The sun in the sky? Well, yes, but a greater than he. His going for Christ. It's from the end of the heaven. Proverbs 8, that whole proverb talks about, I was with him from the beginning. I was ever his delight. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, is going forth. It's from the end of the heaven. His circuit, his reign, his rule, the end, unto the ends of it. There's nothing hid from the heat thereof, from the light. The all-seeing eye, the reign, the rule, Jesus Christ, God's Son, reigns over all. Everything is in his hand. Everything. And that's what creation, or rather who, creation speaks of. This is why God made the heavens and the earth. For his glory, yes, but his greatest glory is his Son. When God made everything, he said, it's good, it's good, it's good. Then when he made man, after he made man, was all he said is, very good. Very good. Man is shining, as it were, creation in the image of his son. in the image of His Son. They're created in Christ is the image of God, the bodily. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. All right. When God regenerated the people in the image of Christ, David said this. He said, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness." I'm going to be made holy and righteous by Christ. You see, it's all about Christ. We're not going to get to God, but by Christ. Salvation is of the Lord Jesus Christ. David said, "I'll behold thy face in righteousness, dressed in his righteousness alone, Christ, and I'll be satisfied. And God will be satisfied." And to this end, God predestinated the people to be conformed to his image. David said, "I'll be satisfied when I awake with his likeness." We're all going to bear the family resemblance. We're all going to look like his son. We're all going to be us, and yet we're going to look just like him. Just like him. Won't that be glory? All right, now, the second voice of God, or book of God, which declares his glory, which declares God's Son, the Word, the written Word, which is even greater than creation. Greater than creation. It is a mistake to say that we commune with God in nature. No, we don't. That's what the Hindus say. That's what the Buddhists say. That's what the naturalists say. That's what the mystics say. That's what the spiritualists say. That's what the Native American Indians thought. That's what the heathens say. That God can be known. God can be communed with. God can become one. You can become one with God sitting out on a hillside looking at the sun. No, you can't. No, you can't. You cannot know God. God doesn't speak that way. The heavens declare his glory. The firmament showeth his handiwork. But we would not know God apart from his word. Jesus Christ is called the Word. He has magnified his word above all his name. We don't commune with God sitting out on a hillside. We commune with God through his word. We commune with God. You know where God meets his people? At the mercy seat. Not out on a hillside watching the sun come up. It's pointless on Easter morning to wake up early in the morning. It's pointless. Get some sleep so you'll be awake enough to hear the message. It won't make you any more spiritual. You won't know God anymore. It just proves that you're just heathen like the rest of them. God is known through his word. You can't know the mind of God. You can't know the will of God. You can see the creative power, his eternal power in Godhead. You can see his hand in everything, but you can't know his mind. You can't know his thoughts. You can't know his ways. You can't know his will. You can't know his purpose. You can't know what he's thinking. You don't know what he's like. You don't know his character. You don't know how to get to him. You don't know if you'll speak to him. You can speak to him. You don't know. You can't know. But apart from his word. And as I said, Christ, the Son, and glory, the Word was made flesh. All right? Now, the Word of God is spoken of throughout Psalm 119. And we went through that. And it talks about the law of the Lord, the testimony, the statutes, the judgments, the commandments of God, the Word of God, the words of God. All speaks of the Word of God, different aspect of God's Word. But it all speaks of Christ. It all bears witness of Christ. All right, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. It's complete. It converts the soul. Wait a minute, preacher. We're not saved by the law. Nope. Not by keeping it. We're saved by Christ keeping it. And doesn't the scripture say that the gospel is witnessed by the law? Doesn't it? Through him give all the prophets witness. When David was writing this, he's talking about Moses' five books. All the law. Everything God wrote. That's what he's talking about. Everything God wrote. All right, the Levitical law The Levitical law wasn't written to tell us how to get to God. That is, for us to keep and do this, you do this. God. No, no, no. The Levitical law was written to show us Jesus Christ. Right? We're going to go through Galatians real soon. But Hebrews, the whole book of Hebrews, it begins, how's the book of Hebrews? God has sundry times in diverse manners spake unto the Father by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, who's the express image of God. It goes on and on to talk about Christ. It begins with the law, and it talks about the tabernacle, and the high priest, and the sacrifices, and the ceremony, and all these things. What's that all about? Jesus Christ. It's a clear... There's so much in there, but take it all together, it's complete, it's a perfect manifestation, if God opens it to you, of Jesus Christ. Nothing more so than that tabernacle. Mindy was listening to a young preacher the other day, and he started out by saying, and our Lord said this to the woman at the well. He said, salvation's of the Jews. Do you know what that means? You do. Very few people know that. Salvation's of the Jews. What's that mean? You've got to have a high priest. You've got to have a tabernacle. You've got to have a sacrifice. God hadn't changed. You've got to have a high priest, a tabernacle, and a sacrifice. Brethren, you know this. These three are one. Jesus Christ. I'm enjoying this. The law is perfect. Converting the soul, that is, if the Lord uses the law as a schoolmaster to teach you, to show you the things of Christ, it will convert your soul. Oh, man. Verse 7. The testimony of the Lord. You ever born testimony? You ever been in a court of law and you testified? The testimony of the Lord. Didn't we just look at this in 1 John? This is the record. This is what God testifies. This is what the heavens declare. This is what the Word declares. The testimony of Jehovah is this. This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear Him, worship Him, bow to Him, believe Him, come to Him, and He'll bring you to me. He's the way, He's the truth, He's the light. No man cometh unto me, but by Him. That's the testimony of this book, from Genesis 1 to Revelation. Isn't it? Testimony of the Lord. And brethren, it's sure. All the promises of God in Christ are sure, are yea and amen, aren't they? Making wise the simple. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Oh, God has made Him wisdom to us. And the gospel is... Oh, the world, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but God pleased by the foolishness of preaching. We preach Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right. Statutes are appointments, enactments. Every little thing, everything that God enacts or appoints. All that God predestined, predetermined, His will, His works, God's ways, everything is right. I love this. I love this. I hope if you're going through trouble, and this brother was telling you about his son, I have to tell you that I thought, this young man, he seems to love the Lord, and he's a very young believer at best. And I have to tell you, I thought, Lord, why? Why'd you do that? He's just a young man. He's just starting. Why? You ever ask? Sure we do. We all ask it. Why? No, I don't understand. Why? Abraham comforted himself, encouraged himself in his God by saying this. And God said, I'm going to destroy Sodom. Everybody in it. If you show me five, I won't destroy it. There wasn't five. Abraham said this, shall not the judge of the earth do right? Yes, he will. And that's where we need to stay. Right there. Whatever God does is right. Let's just leave it at that, okay? Everything that God did to Job, when's the last time you read that? Job 1 or 2. Read it. Anything that could happen to a human being, everything that could happen, all happened to Job at the same time. And it said, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He glorified God in everything. Well, how do you say that? He said, the Lord did this. He said, the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Yes. And someday, I told our brother, we just don't know now. It's just a mystery to it. But someday we'll know, even as it's been known. And we're going to say, how could I have doubted you? Why didn't I trust you? It was the only way. It was the best way. Statutes, enactments, the appointments of our Lord are right. Rejoicing the heart. That will rejoice the heart. Trust in the Lord. Be of good courage. Trust in the Lord. You'll strengthen your heart. Trust Him. And rejoice the heart. Verse 8, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. A commandment to create, a commandment to regenerate is pure, purifying. Thou hast given commandment. You knew I was going to quote that. Thou hast given commandment to save men. Salvation is not an invitation. Salvation is not an offer. Salvation is an enactment by command of the Lord. We love that song that the brother sings on the altar harp. What's the name of it? I forget. Anyway, it says, Almighty love, arrest that man. That was given commandment. He told David, go down there and rescue your wife, and you shall without fail recover it all. Commandment. The commandment of the Lord is pure and purifying. When God, Christ said, now you're clean through the word I've spoken unto you. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. I say unto you, he said, this man goes down to his house justified. Why? Because God said so. Purified to the word. Clean. One of our next article in a bulletin next week is going to be from Spurgeon on Leviticus 13. Talks about the leper. He's covered all over. And the high priest says, clean. I say he's clean. My, my. Isn't that wonderful? Pure, enlightening the eyes. Do you not see that salvation's of the Lord? That's this week's bullet. Salvation's of the Lord from first to last. God gives command to save his people, to purify them by faith, by Christ, by faith, enlightening the eyes. Oh, the, all right, when God said, now here's salvation. And you can't hardly preach the gospel, John, without quoting 2 Corinthians 4, 6. Can God, who caused the light to shine out of darkness, God said, let there be light. Was there light? It was so. God, who caused the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. One day God said concerning Joseph Park, let there be light. And it was so. There was light. Hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge, the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of righteousness. Enlightening the eye. Do you not see through the word, the more you read it, Christ just keeps, the more you read it, the more you see of Christ then. Or you see of Christ. If you've ever seen Christ, you'll see him like looking at the sun. You'll see him in everything. Verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean. The Fear of the Lord. I do want you to turn to one other scripture, Proverbs 16. If you hadn't read through the Proverbs lately. Proverbs 16 is a glorious, glorious proverb. Proverbs 16. The fear of the Lord is clean. Proverbs 16, verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that's proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. No hand joined in hand should not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Fear of the Lord is clean. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Because the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. We will fear the Lord as long as we live. The judgments, verse 9, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The judgments of the Lord are truth and righteousness. Listen to this. In Acts 17, Paul's message at Antioch, I believe it was, he said this. Acts 17. Talks about in Him we live. This is Acts 17. In Him we live and move and have our being. He says, God hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, Jesus Christ, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He raised Him from the dead. Christ is the truth of God. True and righteous. Christ is the righteousness of God. The judgments of God. God is going to judge all flesh someday. Whether you're in Christ or out of Christ. In the ark, out of the ark. And they're true. And they're righteous altogether. Altogether. Verse 10 says, more to be desired are they than gold. These are true riches. The word of God. You know, I was thinking today, I don't know why that thought's like this come in my head, but they do. And I thought, if this house caught on fire, what would, you know, you had a few minutes, what would you rush to save? Huh? Would you go in your closet and get your suits and ties and coats and dresses and shoot? Would you go get your photo albums? Would you get that money? I don't want to tell you. I got a little thing. Would you go get that? Huh? What would you? You know what I thought? I really did. I thought, I grabbed this. Took it under my coat. Everything else is irreplaceable. I mean, everything else is replaceable. Gold. True riches. Huh? We can live without everything, anything, but this. God's word. Gold. Hey, fine gold. Sweeter, verse 10, than the honeycomb. Honey in the honeycomb. Do you find God's word to be sweet? Is this sweet to you? Honeycomb. My dad used to eat the honeycomb. I never could take it. It just stuck to my teeth. He put a big old chunk right in his cereal. Stick to your teeth. Well, that's a good illustration then. Oh, it sticks. Wicked, like, oh, it's sweeter than a honeycomb. I guess it's like a cow chewing his cud. You can just keep chewing on it and get the sweetness out of it. Verse 11. The word of God is good, is sweet, is rich, and it warns us. By them, by your judgments, by your law, by your testimony, by your statutes, by your word, commandments, I'm warned. Whom the Lord loveth, he warns. Noah being warned of God, moved with fear. These are words you don't hear in preaching today. Fear, warning, judgment. Oh, by them servants warned. What are we warned to do? Flee to the city of refuge. Flee the city of destruction to the celestial city. Celestial city. Celestial city. Flee to Christ, the rock that is higher than I. By them I'm warned, and in keeping of them, laying hold of the promises is great reward. What's the reward? Abraham said, "What, Lord, what do I get? Look at Lot. Look what he's got. He later found out, I would not trade places with Lot for anything. Our Lord said, I am thy exceeding great reward. Now verse 12, after looking at God's word, after hearing it preached, after the Lord speaks to us, He creates this fear and shows us His statutes and judgments, His law and over everything. What does it do to us? It shows us our sins. Who can't understand His error? David speaking to himself, who can understand His error? And he prays this prayer. Now here's a short prayer in closing. Oh Lord, there's so much wrong with me. I can't find anything right with me. Cleanse me. Cleanse thou me from secret fault. Not only my open acts that I know about, but those things I don't know of. David, in Psalm 51, is one of our favorites, is it not? And I'm glad someone requested that. Sister Bonnie wasn't. Psalm 51. No, it was, I forget. Somebody. But No. Anyway, this is a favorite of everybody. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, I'll be whiter than snow. What's that? The hyssop was used to put the blood on the doorpost of the lintel. That's Christ crucified. David didn't just want forgiven of his sin. David didn't just want to be held accountable for his sin or guilty, to be done with the shame and the guilt. David wanted cleansed. Cleanse me. They asked Spurgeon one time, if you could have anything you want, what would it be? He said that I might never sin again. Cleanse me from secrets. And that's in italic. Secret whatever. And there's lots of those. Keep me back, Lord. Keep me back. Verse 13. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Paul said, I haven't arrived yet. Paul said that. He went to the third heaven. Heard things that are impossible, unlawful to utter. But he said, I'm not presuming. I'm trusting, but I'm not presuming. This one thing I do, forgetting things behind, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Oh, I want to win Christ, be found in Him. I want to know Him. Don't be presumptuous. Let them not, these presumptuous sins, let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgression. What's the great transgression? We just looked at it. The sin unto death. Apostasy. Oh, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Oh, Lord, that art thou who art able to keep me from falling. Keep me from falling away. Keep me from departing from the living God. Oh, Lord, keep me by your power. I don't want to commit the great regression. I don't want to fall away. Do you? And then he closes, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth. You know, our mouths condemn us, don't they? They cause us so much trouble. He that keepeth his mouth, his lips, keepeth his soul from trouble. Oh, Lord, he set a watch on my lips. And whatever I speak, let the words of my mouth, let them be praise, let them be thanks, let them be profitable. And the meditation of my heart, oh, my heart, out of the heart of the issues of life. Oh, Lord, set my affection on things above. Too often my heart goes after other things. Lord, let the words of my mouth and meditation, the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Our Lord's word, weren't they? Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, without sin, thought, word, deed, perfect, pure heart. Oh, Lord, you're my strength, and you're my Redeemer. The two voices of our God, the two books. Stand with me.